Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today in the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about some of the differences between mental material changes and the transformation of spiritual realization. Listen as we discuss what Mary Baker Eddy wrote in Principle and Practice. The nature and position of mortal mind are the opposite of immortal mind. In this show, we will differentiate between the sense-level awareness of mortality from the ascended consciousness of a spiritually realized individual. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and live under the influence of spiritual awareness. Swami, I see the title of today's show is Anatomy of a Spiritual Healing. And that word anatomy is interesting to me because it implies that there's parts to spiritual healing. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I think what we really want to focus on is to differentiate between a spiritual healing and a mental material healing, because there's definitely a difference. The origins of the word heal means to be whole. In other words, to understand healing from the perspective originally designed to be understood from, we would have to understand the idea of wholeness. And what we know about that is the only dimension that we can find wholeness is in spiritual reality, spiritual identity. Everything else is divided. It is mental, material, energy. And spirit is the only self-existent power in the universe. All healing is the revealing of the divine creation to some degree. The realization there is only one perfect divine life, which is spiritual, eternal, and changeless, is the real dynamics of a healing. Divine truth is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. Anything that happens spiritually, spirit is permanent success. And the mental material concept can be some temporary sense of success. Spirit is under the divine government of one power, absolute goodness, and everything else is under the law of karma. It has a belief in two powers.
So it sounds like when you're saying wholeness is part of healing, that wholeness would be a part of spiritual healing, that would need to be a necessary component.
From my perspective, the missing ingredient today is the actualization of spiritual identity, the idea of becoming a whole person. It seems to me in earlier times, some civilizations had rites of passage with points of passage, and we're more acquainted with this process in development. And today we put those rituals, ceremonies, ordeals, and ascetic practices on the junk pile with the flat earth theory. Instead, there's doctors, drugs, and therapy. We no longer enlist strategies. Collectively, we are surviving without the concept of what it means to grow psychologically and spiritually. No heroes or genuine role models to imitate. Everything we're doing today is nothing more than managing a believed condition. It's the 666 in Revelations. It's imperfection complete. Complete imperfection is where humanity resides today. We are accepting we are finite mortal beings, and we're all sitting around waiting to die. Where is the message of the Christ and most scripture you read today, when you unbox it and interpret it correctly, is instruction for you to think differently or turn back, to accept you are spirit, and to come out of the belief that you're not, making healing anything that seems to change bad to good. But we've learned that with the mortal mind and belief, we can change finite bad to finite good. But when finite good is no longer your goal, when you finally come out of this belief that all you're doing is prolonging the inevitable, because I believe in mortality, I believe life is in matter, satisfied with finite good, the sense of urgency to go beyond is diminished. Therefore, we don't use healing in the same way they did in the time of early Christianity. Healing was an opportunity for you to prove what you're calling divine truth was divine truth, because it could change what seemed to be bad health to good health. Now we know just changing bad health to good health isn't really going far enough. And for us to understand the value of spiritual healing, we must keep it plugged into the idea of becoming a whole person, the eternal spiritual self.
So, Swami, is this what you mean when you said earlier that all healing is the revealing of the divine creation to some degree? Because even if it is changing finite bad to finite good, that would be a degree of the divine creation?
Once we begin to educate thought up to spiritual apprehension, we start to see what we're calling life, this mental material concept, this finite mortal existence that we are accepting, isn't real. It's a mental image. It is a thought about what's really here. What is here is the divine creation. The divine principle is running a perfect universe. All the good, beautiful, and true attributes belong to that principle. However, when what you experience is this mental material concept with imperfections, it has flaws, it's constantly changing. Now, if we continue to accept that as real, then we're in the trap. We believe in these two powers. We're in the cycle of death and rebirth. For us to find liberation from this mental material belief, this universal belief, predominantly being accepted throughout the world today, and if we want solution with permanent success, not temporary relief, we have to come out of this false sense of self. And that's a process. Humans have to be taught how to initiate the developmental process and then work out their own salvation. We have to make this happen. And that's primarily what we're trying to do with these shows, educate people to understand what we're calling life today isn't life as in what Jesus was calling life. To understand the message of the Christ, which is to heal the sick, reform sinner, raise the dead, not as a goal in and of itself. Jesus didn't come into the world to patch up God's handiwork. The real message of the Christ is you are accepting the wrong self. You're going about life the wrong way. Life is perfect. What we have to do is walk reason through the open door of revelation in order to get there. You'll find this is a lot more difficult than what it may seem to be or the way it sounds when some people say God didn't create sickness, suffering, disease, or limitation. We are all God's children. Well, what we're calling life, being born in a physical form, individualized from the world mind, has to go. We have to die to the false sense of life, then be reborn in the divine spirit, the truth of being. And there's a lot of internal work that must be in place before you're actually going to be able to demonstrate the omnipresence of the divine principle. In the meantime, the physical world is a mental image. But the more divinely mental, the more harmonious and indestructible it appears.
Swami, you said earlier about thinking differently, which also seems to coincide with what Mary Baker Eddy wrote in Principle and Practice. The nature and position of mortal mind are the opposite of immortal mind. Are you saying that we have to think differently so that we can get to immortal mind?
Right. And the language we use in order to represent this are things like stop thinking, start knowing. Thinking with this five material sense mind is actually presenting the false image. The mental image we are calling life is a creation of a mind that doesn't even exist. And so again, there's a lot of work that has to be in place because we stop thinking with our five material senses. Like Jesus says, you go into the closet, you close the door. In Kriya Yoga, we call that pratyahara, sense withdrawal. You shut off the influence that's coming through your material senses. And then you make your mind an avenue of awareness for the divine creation. So you start with a belief life is perfect. It's not a far-off God that we're waiting for in time and space. We're looking at a principle that is everywhere, always. It always was. It always will be. And that is the essence of your being. That is the life of your being. And so we have to give ourselves this half a turn, like what she said in the opening. The nature and position of mortal mind are the opposite of immortal mind. So rather than looking outside yourself, you look within. Or if you're looking within, you also have to look outside. But at some point, we have this realization. Life is spiritual. I am spiritual. I am one. There's only one life. And that realization lifts us out of the belief in the two, out of the belief in the many, out of the influence from our five material senses. And then we have what could be called the birth of Christ. We graduate from thinking with our material senses to activating our seven spiritual senses. The Christ is what now makes the divine creation comprehensive to human consciousness. From that perspective, we're not trying, striving, struggling, seeking, planning, or even asking for anything because we're a whole person.
It sounds like you just explained the differences between the sense level awareness of mortality from the ascended consciousness of a spiritually realized individual.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're aspiring to do in this show, is to broaden the cracks between matter, mind, and spirit, to really open everything up so that we can begin to understand ourselves in the way that we are created, which is spirit. And then from that broader sense of understanding, we're living out from a perspective that sees the truth. The further we get away from this false sense of life, and the deeper we get into the truth of our being, the more we begin to see the influence of spiritual awareness on our experiences.
we start to become that place where divine truth expresses itself through you, as you.
Well, we are going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. Listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Asana Class is a module fitting into the master plan, leading the practitioner to the experience of total consciousness by attuning the mind-body complex to the divine idea. A system of exercises designed to use the physical appearance to determine individual level of consciousness and degree of awareness. Starting with the process of lengthening and strengthening muscles to bring bones into the position of internal support. We educate thought up to spiritual apprehension, because when spirit is cause, it calls into expression the beauty of holiness, making creation perfect. Mountain pose may not bring you truth in consciousness, but truth in consciousness must bring mountain pose. Visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So I've heard you say many, many times, our external environment are indications for us to look closely at ourselves and how we're thinking. So what is the benefit of us being able to recognize these imperfections?
Yeah, what surrounds us is within us. The benefit of these imperfections, the purpose of the mental material appearance, is to display individual conscious awareness. It's the check engine light on the dashboard of consciousness. How we think is what we become. What is appearing in your material senses is a mental image. It's a thought about what is here. What we're really striving for now is not so much to just change that appearance, but we want to change what we are conscious of, to eliminate the influence of the five material senses from our thought, from our consciousness, so that we can be that place. We reflect the divine image and likeness solely, without the interference of this mental material lens that darkens or distorts the divine image, which is perfect, pure, whole, complete.
So how is it that we are to really live under the influence of the spiritual oneness?
Yeah, as Mary Baker Eddy said, we stand porter at the door of our thought. Now, we have divine mind. It only knows divine truth. And so when a human thought comes into our awareness, we should now know that it didn't come from divine mind. We treat it differently. We treat it as an intruder, an imposter. We no longer react to the testimony of the material senses. We become a faithful witness to the divine truth, which is pouring forth the perfection of being. Now, that perfection never reports in our five material senses. So even when the report from our material senses is showing what I would say divine qualities, things are going good in your material senses, you still have to understand that it's not real. And you keep your mind in constant relation with this divine truth, which is invisible and intangible to your material senses, until your spiritual senses begin to develop. Until the Christ is born in your consciousness, where now you are able to perceive what is invisible to your material senses through the mind of Christ. And from that perspective, everything is governed from within. There is no personal sense of self. You have put off the old man. The way that we bury the false sense of self is by starving that mental, material energy system that thinks it's real. And we sow to the spirit. We keep our mind in constant relation with this invisible, intangible source of sustenance until we have taken reason through the open door of revelation. Then you are no longer trying, striving, struggling, seeking, planning, or asking for anything. You are resting in the knowledge. You are now that place where divine truth expresses itself through you as you. Now, that's being a whole person. You're in spiritual identity. Everything that is appearing in your material senses are now revealing your conscious awareness of this divine truth. So you've got your rule. Life is perfect. Life is omnipresent. And now you're looking for your outcome, that what is appearing in your material senses is showing forth the perfection of that being.
So again, you're saying that these symptoms, we should think of them as opportunities.
Yeah, any symptom becomes an opportunity to deny the existence of a false belief and then affirm the omnipresence of the truth. This is what was called praying. This is how we worship the Creator. We glorify the Creator because we're that place that is reflecting the divine truth. You're not doing this as a human. There's no separation at this point. In spiritual identity, there's only one life. And there's no division in spirit. And again, spirit is out of the obstructions. The 12 obstructions we talk about and we use in our Kriya Yoga practice becomes the checklist. And the first one on the list when you look at Muladhara Chakra is time. Time is broken down to now and then, past, present, and future. So the past is then, the present is now, and the future is then. But if you eliminate now and then, time becomes always. There's no past, present, or future in spiritual identity. And as we rise out of that limitation, and the next one that we hit is space. Space has here and there. Here and there has to be opened up into everywhere. I am everywhere always. It's one thing to say this and to work with the mind that can't bring forth the divine image. And what you're doing when you do that is you're educating your thought up to spiritual apprehension. At some point, reason goes through the open door of revelation. And now you are being held, controlled, and governed by the divine mind. When spirit is cause, creation is perfect.
And then when that happens, we come to the realization that all this is to glorify the Creator, which reminds me of a story I just read from the book of Luke when Jesus heals 10 lepers and only one of them glorifies the Creator and is thankful for what had just happened.
Yeah, I think that story kind of tells us it's not just about the healing. It's about the revelation. It's about the revealing of the truth, because that's the difference between a temporary sense of success and permanent success. And I think that was very frustrating for Jesus. People wanted the miracles, but they didn't want to do the work. They didn't want to accept or work out their own salvation. They weren't interested in what just happened. And now we're at the point where it's very difficult to find that miracle. Or what Jesus said to Thomas, it's great, you believe, because you see, but what about all of those who don't see and still believe? And I think collectively that's kind of where we're coming from these days, because healing spiritually is not the norm. Most of us are still going to the doctor.
So, Swami, do you think there's anything wrong with going to the doctor?
Well, to answer your question, I don't think there's anything intrinsically evil with it. But in spiritual terms, day is considered the time when life is in a material form. It is the time to work for liberation from the belief in a finite mortal sense of life. Night is the period when material form disappears and life continues in the astral plane. Now, something from the Bible, John 9:3-5. Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." End of quote. Again, I think we really have to start to understand where we are collectively as a people. And another example that we can use here is the 666 in Revelations, which is the acceptance of imperfection as reality. Because 7, which is the next number up, 7 is the number for perfection, and 6 being one short. Then the 3 times 3 is the number of completion. And so 6 presented 3 times is complete imperfection. There's nothing intrinsically evil with going to a doctor, but you are giving up the opportunity for you to demonstrate or prove the presence of the divine creation right here and now. And this is the difference between mental material healing and spiritual healing. And as they say in Maine, you can't get there from here. So if we continue to use mental material means, we never really get to the point where we're able to walk, reason through the open door of revelation and know that life is perfect. It always was. It always will be.
But we also know that we can heal with thought and belief. So that wouldn't be intrinsically evil either, but it's just not a spiritual healing.
Yeah, like you say, with a belief in two powers, we can change finite bad to finite good. And we're still believing in imperfection. Believing in a mortal sense of life is real becomes the problem. Demise is simply a matter of time, and eventually you wind up in a coffin. But what we're talking about here, spiritual healing, is a revealing of the truth that life is perfect and eternal. The value of the symptom is a chance to work, to show the mortal sense of life isn't real. Consciousness is experience, and true consciousness is true health. To be a faithful witness to the divine creation, to live above the testimony of the 5 corporeal senses and correct the outer image, is the effect of glorifying the omnipresent Creator.
Well, we do have to start breaking down our show for the day, so listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On any of the pages, you'll see there's lots of buttons for you to press to further your spiritual development, as well as Swami says recent posts. With that, Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and live under the influence of spiritual awareness. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.